Hi there, friend. Welcome today to the Carter Report, and thanks so much for joining us for this special series on Focus on Bible Prophecy. Today, the Bible prophecy is going to focus on the great Antichrist. We're having a series on the Antichrist, and this is part two. And you're going to be tremendously blessed by this program. We're going to take you in a moment to the Shrine Auditorium downtown Los Angeles, and we're going to join a tremendous crowd of people. People who've come out night after night in Los Angeles to study the Word of God. Those people are in earnest. They want to know the truth about the Antichrist. Do you know why? The Antichrist is here in the world today. The Antichrist is even in America. And this prophecy is going to tell you the truth about the Antichrist. And so join me now at the Shrine Auditorium. Welcome today to the Carter Report and Focus on Prophecy.
Prophecy. It's used to peer into the future, but it must be learned from the past. The Carter Report presents Focus on Prophecy. From the Shrine Auditorium in downtown Los Angeles, John Carter unravels the mysteries of Bible prophets and brings modern meaning to this ancient book. And now, John Carter.
Now, somebody sent in a question tonight, and I'm going to answer it now. Somebody said, what does it matter about Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome? What does it matter? It matters a great deal. If you want to understand who the Antichrist is, you better start with these powers, because the Antichrist arises on the ruins of Rome. Remember this last night? Because this beast, the Roman beast, has got 10 horns, has he not? Notice the 10 horns. And what do the 10 horns represent? Yes, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 7, verse 24 and so forth, that the 10 horns are 10 kings that shall arise. And as we proved to you last night from history, between the years 300 and 500 AD, the Roman Empire was broken up into the kingdoms and the states of Europe. And so the 10 horns on the Roman beast represent Europe. Is that plain? And therefore, Antichrist comes up, doesn't he? He comes up, he pushes his way up and overthrows three of them. We talked about this last night. Therefore, if we're going to look for Antichrist, where shall we look for him? Answer me. Yes, we've got to look for him on the ruins on the Roman Empire. We've got to look for him among the powers and the kingdoms and the states of Europe. Is that plain? Now, folks, this is why we're going into this. Because in these meetings, we are not going to deal in speculation. We're not going to just say, well, I think this is what it may be. We're just not going to say, well, that sounds like Mao Zedong or that sounds like Stalin to me. You know, that's for the birds, folks. We want to go to history and we want to build on the facts of history. You hear what I'm saying, don't you? And that's why we're going into all of this detail. And people who come to my meetings say, now these meetings are, you know, you've got to work to come to these meetings. You've got to really work and you've got to think. There's all this stuff in Egypt and all of this stuff in history. Why are you doing this? Because we are interested not just in religious emotionalism. We are interested in finding the truth of God. And when you're looking for the truth of God, you've got to do a little bit of work, folks. You've got to do a little bit of work. And when you come to these meetings, you've got to do a lot of work. And tonight, you're going to do a lot of work because you're going to work it out for yourselves. I'm not going to tell you who he is, but every person tonight who knows anything about history is going to say, why didn't I see this before like the Pilgrim Fathers saw it? And as we build on it tomorrow night, and then as we talk about the prophecies of the mark of the beast, you're going to say, the Word of God is plain, the Word of God is clear, and it is tremendously reasonable. Can I tell you folks something? Around the world, I've had heaps of atheists come to my meetings. And they've come into the meetings and they've come in laughing and scorning and scoffing. And they've said, nobody can believe that silly old book. But as they've heard these tremendous prophecies, and as they have seen the power of God working through the nations, I have seen atheists, heaps of atheists, stand up and say, I believe there's a living God in heaven, and I was wrong. Atheism is wrong. Communism is wrong. Infidelity is wrong. There is a living God. And that's why God says in the book of Isaiah, come, let us reason together. God has given given you a mind, and God expects you to use it. But you know, you go along to so many meetings, pardon my saying this, because this is the land of religion, and you go along to so many hyped up religious emotional meetings, and they almost say to you, check your brains in at the door and just come in here and we're going to forget about thinking. I want to tell you, God doesn't work like this. God has told us to search for the truth. God has told us to believe the truth. And the Bible says, study the scriptures. And I want you folk tonight to come into this meeting with a firm conviction that by the grace of God, we are going to find the truth and then obey the truth. God help us. So this brings us down to the Iron Monarchy of Rome. Now notice Daniel 7 and verse 8. Daniel 7 verse 8. I was considering the horns. Who are the horns? Come on, the kings and the states of Europe. Come on, let's talk together. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. And then you come to verse 24. It tells you more. Look at verse 24 of the same chapter. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom, the Roman kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. And so, As we're talking, and as he was considering, and all of a sudden he saw the kingdoms of Europe. And when he saw the kingdoms of Europe, he saw there was a stirring among the kingdoms of Europe. And there he saw coming up in Europe among those ten horns, another horn who grew and grew and grew and became the great king. Now, what we're going to do is this. I've never seen an audience listening better. Listen. Can I say this to you? Don't you think the Bible is interesting? Isn't it interesting? When I was a teenager, I thought it was the most boring book in the world. But then I went along and heard some meetings like this, and I said to myself and I said to my friends, we have only been playing Mickey Mouse games. Now we're dealing with the almighty truths of the almighty God. If you want to get something that is going to give you excitement and joy and power and understanding, then my friend, tune into the God who made you and start to read the Bible. Listen, you can tell what sort of person you are. A shallow person is a person who spends all his time looking at, pardon my saying this, just looking at junk on television. That's a shallow person. And a person who does that will soon lose the ability to think for himself. But when you get into the Word of God, you start to find there's power there, and there's joy there, and there's peace there. Can I tell you folks something? I want to give you a personal experience. There have been times when I have been running meetings and I've been working so hard during the daytime that before the meetings I've said to Beverly, I don't know how I'm going to take the meeting tonight. I'm so tired. I feel fatigued. Anybody know that feeling? You feel so fatigued, you just wonder how you're going to take a meeting. And we have prayer together, and I come out to take the meeting, and this is not emotionalism, folks, but the power of God comes upon me. God sends his power upon me, and God puts words in my mouth, and you know where it's coming from. The power is from God. I want to tell you tonight, there may be some of you sitting here, and you're living such cheap, shallow, poor little lives. I want to say to you tonight, turn your life over to God. And if you turn your life over to God, you will come in contact with mighty power. The power of Jesus. Now, I'll never get through this meeting if you folks don't interrupt me. Stop interrupting me like this. Now, I'm going to put up the identification marks of the Antichrist, and we're going to work through this slow. I'm not even going to try to hold your attention. I'm going to deal with it slowly and systematically. Read it again for your edification and my edification. Look at Daniel 7 and verse 24. Read it again with me, please. Daniel 7:24. Daniel 7:24. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another shall rise. What does it say? What's the word? After them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue three kings. What I'm going to do now is slowly and systematically and methodically and prayerfully, not my ideas at all. I'm not going to put any of my words, I hope, in this. I'm going to put up the thoughts of the Bible, and I'm going to give you identification marks. Okay? Now let's start with point number one. I want to make sure I've got plenty of room here tonight. Point number one. The Bible tells me that the Antichrist arises among the ten kingdoms of Europe. Is that plain? Okay. Therefore, Antichrist is a European king. That's number one. Number two, it says, and after them shall arise another king. After them. After who's the them? Oh, the kings of Europe. The kingdoms of Europe were established, firmly established, after the breakup of the Roman Empire by the year 476 AD. Notice that date, 476 AD. The Bible says, after them. So you've got to find a time when Antichrist comes on the scene after those kingdoms are settled. And those kingdoms were settled by the year 476. Therefore, it is a European king who comes up after 476 AD. And somebody came to me the other night, incidentally, and they said, you've got us all mixed up with this AD. Doesn't that mean after death? No, it doesn't mean after death. Talking about the death of Jesus, you know, after the death of Jesus, BC and then AD. It comes from the Latin words that mean in the year of our Lord. In the year of our Lord. And so by the year 476, the kingdoms of Europe are established, and the Bible says he shall come up after them. So we're going to look for a power that arises in Europe after them, after 476. Now, when this king comes on the scene, there's a little political uprising and anarchy. And the Bible tells me that this king does something to some other kings. What does he do? Come on, what does he do? The Bible says he uproots or overthrows. He overthrows. He overthrows three kings. Is that plain? Now, if you want to take notes on this tonight, this is fine. But this is being turned into a television series, and we hope to make these available to you. And we hope to have this whole program on a major Los Angeles television station soon. So, Antichrist is a European king. He comes up after 476 AD, and he overthrows three European powers. And as we go along tonight, I'll tell you exactly who the powers were. I can tell you now. They were the Heruli, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths. And I'll tell you about that as we go along a little further. Now come back to verse 24. We're going to read it again. I want you to notice verse 24, and we're going to read it again. Verse 24. The ten horns, the ten kings, who shall arise from this kingdom. And another shall rise after them. All right, he comes up after 476. He shall be the same as the other ones. Oh, no. What does it say? Different. He shall be different. You see what we're doing? We're letting the word of God speak for itself. We are not putting words in the mouth of the Bible. So number one, this king is different. Now this is important that you notice this. This king is a different king. Now all of those other kings were political powers. But the Bible tells me that the Antichrist is the result of a religious falling away from the truth, and the Antichrist sits in the church. The reason this king is different is because he is somehow tied up with religion. This is not what John Carter is saying. The Bible says he comes up, he's a European king, he comes up after 476, he overthrows three kingdoms, the Heruli, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths, and he is different to any other king in the world, and the Bible tells me that this king sits in the temple of God, and he shows himself that he is God. Now come now to verse 25, and the evidence starts to build. Verse 25. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and laws. Just pause there. Tomorrow night I'm going to talk about that. Now, this meeting tonight is going to be a bit of a stunner, but I want to tell you it's nothing like you're going to hear tomorrow night. The meeting that we're going to have tomorrow night is going to unmask the work of this great power down through the ages. And if I had to drive 1,000 miles through LA traffic, round and round and round, I would still come. The Bible says this person, this power, not a person, but this power, this system, persecutes the people of God, shall intend to change times and law, then the saints shall be given into his hand. Now say it with me, for a time and times and half a time. This tells us for how long this great power is going to rule. Now remember this, we're not talking about people, we're not talking about a person per se, we are talking about a system that has somehow fallen away from the truth and which has deceived the whole wide world. And the Bible says that he rules for a time, times and half a time. Now what I'm going to tell you now is tremendously important. Time, and I'll prove this to you, but just take it from me for the moment. Time, times, and half a time in the Bible represent 3.5 years. Time is a year. Times 2 years, half a time, half a year. 3.5 times equal 3.5 years. I'll prove it to you. Keep your finger there on the spot so you don't lose it, and come with me now to the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. Come over to page 1067. 1067. And we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to notice verse 14 for a start. The book of Revelation is a commentary on the book of Daniel. The book of Revelation is a revelation of the love of God, and it also reveals the truth about the Antichrist so that you and I will be warned, and so we'll know what we are to do down here in these last days. Now notice the Bible says the Antichrist rules for a time, times, and half a time. Now this is a picture of the Antichrist from another viewpoint. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 14 says, but the woman, now in Bible prophecy, let me have your eyes. I've got to tell you some things tonight that you need to know, and I've got to go through it fast. Every scholar of the Bible, whether he is a Jew or a Protestant or a Roman Catholic, every person recognizes that in Bible prophecy, in the symbols of Daniel and Revelation, a woman always represents the church. A good woman represents a good church, and a bad woman represents a bad church. The Jews, the Catholics, and the Protestants, everybody agrees on that. A woman represents the church. Now, having said this, read it with me, please. Read it with me. Verse 14, and it gets exciting. But the woman was given, the church, was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Now, in Daniel chapter 7, you have this great power, this king persecuting the true church. And in Revelation chapter 12, you have the true church fleeing from the Antichrist for a time, times and half a time. Now, having said that, notice now verse 6, because verse 6 tells us something very, very important. Verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there for how long? 1,260 days. Therefore, time, times, and half a time represent 1,260 days. Now, let me see if I can get a piece of chalk, and I hope if I write over here that you'll see this. You have the time, times, and what else? Half a time. Now, I know tonight some folk are going to come to me or write me a letter, and they're going to say, but this is absolutely new to all of us Americans. This is absolutely new. All this business about the time, times, and half a time, we've never heard this taught, and it's very hard for us to believe you. I want to tell you folks something. The Puritan fathers and the founding fathers of the United States of America knew this better than I know it. They used to teach these things to the early Americans. And it was the understanding of these great prophecies that gave America the ability to become a free nation. Now, the Bible says Antichrist rules for a time, times, and half a time. And we said that was 3.5 years, or 1,200, the Bible says, 1,260 days. Now, let me tell you why. In a prophetic biblical calendar, you have 12 months, and each month is 30 days. And so in a prophetic calendar, you have 360 days in a year. And if you multiply the 360 days in a prophetic year by 3.5, it comes exactly to 1,260 days. You see that? Now, let me give you some more evidence on this. Come now quickly to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. This is only the start of the stuff we're going to give you. Revelation chapter 13, And let me show you verse 5, where it talks about the same identical power and describes his rule again. Verse 5, Revelation 13, verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for how long? 42 months. Well, the Bible says that this power is going to rule the world for, let me get some chalk. The Bible says time times half a time, 3.5 years, 1260 days, and then it says he's going to rule the world for 42 months. And in a prophetic month, how many days? 30. And so you multiply 3 2s are 6, and 3 4s are 12, and it brings you through again to 1260 days. And so the Bible says that this great power that arises in Europe and that overthrows three kingdoms, the Heruli, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths, this power that is another Christ, that is not against Christ, but is a counterfeit, it rules the world for 1260 days. Now listen to this, my beloved American friends. I'm going to tell you something that the great founding fathers of this nation believed. I'm going to tell you what they taught in their churches, in the Puritan churches. I'm going to tell you what they taught over there in Europe and what they brought across to this country. They taught that in the Bible prophecies concerning the Antichrist and concerning the true Christ, in the Bible prophecies, a day was symbolic of a year. And let me say it again. They taught that a day represented a year. And you say, where did they get this idea from? They got this idea from the Jewish Old Testament. For instance, Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 6, Numbers 14, 34, Daniel chapter 9, and a host of other passages. The Jewish people believed that in some way a day symbolized a year. And when God gave the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, these days were symbolic days that represented literal years. And therefore, the Antichrist who rules for a time, times half a time, 3.5 years, 1260 days, 42 months, once again 1260 days, that time period represents not 1260 literal days, but 1260 literal years. Let me write this up. Point number 5. He rules for 1260 years. That's very important. And tonight, before we're through this meeting, I'm going to tell you when that time period started, what happened during that time period. I'm going to describe in detail what happened during that time period, and then I'm going to tell you when the time period finished, what caused it to finish, and what is going to happen in the future years. It is all plainly revealed in the Word of God. Just as God described the history of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, and the rise of the little horn, this may astound you, but I can show you in Bible prophecy where the history of the United States is all so plainly revealed. And the Word of God tells us, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the crisis in the history of the world and in the history of the United States, and a tremendous event is about to come upon this nation. And that is why we are running these meetings, because we have a burden that men and women, you and I, should get ready for these great events by having true faith in Jesus Christ and by obedience in the Word of God, you see. And so Antichrist rules for 1260 years. Now, I'm going to give you lots of other points, but while we're here in the book of Revelation, I want you to come over now to Revelation chapter 17, and I'm going to give you a point now out of the book of Revelation. Chapter 17, and it's page 1070, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 3. Now, once again, in this chapter, you have a picture of a woman, but this is not a picture of a good woman. This is a picture of one who, has a few blemishes. Revelation 17, verse 3 says, have you got this? Page 1070. Need to see this. 1070. Revelation 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And so here is a woman. And I've shown you tonight from Bible prophecy that in the prophecies, a woman symbolizes a church. And so here is a picture of a church. And we showed you in Revelation 12 where there is a true church who is persecuted by the Antichrist, persecuted for 1260 years. But in Revelation 17, there is a picture now of another woman, and this woman is not a very, very good woman. Now, if you come now to verse 18. Verse 18. Now, before we read verse 18, I'm going to ask you a question. And this is not a trick question, but I ask it to you, and I want you to respond. Answer me this. Help me out with this. You know, in the days of Jesus and in the days of the apostles? Okay. You know the days of Jesus and the days of the apostles. There was a great city back in those days that ruled over all the earth. A city in the days of Jesus that ruled over the kings of the earth. What was that city? It was the city of Rome. Is there any doubt about that? No doubt at all. The city that reigned over the kings of the earth in the days of Jesus and the apostles was the city of Rome. Now, look, don't come to me and say, I really don't like these conclusions. My friend, they're not my conclusions. I am simply trying to be a mouthpiece for the Lord tonight and show you what the Bible says. Now, all right, the city that reigned over the kings of the earth was what city? City of Rome. Notice Revelation chapter 17, and would you please notice verse 18. Revelation 17, verse 18. And the woman who you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, the Bible says that here is a great city and it reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, tell me this. This city is seated upon how many hills? What do we talk about? The seven hills or what? Now, am I telling you this or are you telling me? The Bible, you know, you're telling me about the seven hills of Rome. All right then, I want you to come now and notice this verse in the same chapter. I want you to notice verse 9. We're told it's a city that reigns over the kings of the earth. And verse 9 says, here is the mind which has wisdom. Now God says, I want to give you wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Now the Bible tells me that here is a European power and all the rest of these amazing points. But then it tells me here is point, what are we up to? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We should have put down, 1260 years. I think we've got everything down here. But we're told here that this is a great city that reigns over the kings of the earth, and that, of course, is the city of Rome.